So then, officially, this is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure 126C, page 496. And DK is summarizing what he has attempted to do in this section on the science of triangles. He's called these triangles living, moving, focusing, and transmitting light triangles. A great subjective triangular relationship underlying all that seems to be working out within the square. So I've pointed out certain relations between the various constellations, the esoteric planets, not so much the hierarchical planets, and our Earth. I've shifted the approach of the astrological student away from the world of tangible happenings. Well, I suppose after reading esoteric astrology, we tend to have a shift in values concerning what is most important. Are tangible happenings, precipitated events, and personal characteristics the most important things? Or are the world of conditioning energies controlling incentives? They control our progress. We see a vision and we have the desire to move towards them. Taurus being the sign of incentive and causes, controlling incentives, desires, impulses from above and causes from above and below, and have thus laid down the basis of an inner esoteric astrology which must govern this ancient science in the future. Well, maybe all esoteric astrology is inner from that perspective. Or is there an outer esoteric astrology and an inner? Well, I'm sure the great astrologers in the hierarchical department of astrology have compared to what we know about esoteric astrology and inner astrological science. I have emphasized in your consciousness the web of light and energy, which is the recipient of zodiacal and other extra systemic forces, and I have pointed to the first dim outline of the astrology of the soul and of the unfolding consciousness of man. We're really nowhere near being able to set up charts with triangles and crosses which would reveal the astrology of the soul. But we can come closer, as I've said, to revealing the astrology which sheds light upon the working of the soul within the personality. Anyway, the first dim outline of the astrology of the soul is emerging, and I do expect it's going to be fascinating to consider what Master DK might give in the year 2025 and following, because astrology is mentioned as specifically in relation to the third installment. I suppose since it's the third installment, the development of astrology, which is always associated with number three, would be natural enough. I wonder how he will present that. I've sometimes joked, you know, they have these voice recognition programs. They have this a dragon, naturally speaking. I couldn't help but think that it should be Dragon of Wisdom, naturally speaking, that Master DK could have his own electronic apparatus to speak directly into voice recognition software, which by that time might be extremely sophisticated. But I do think all the editorial function is not something that would be economical for him to undertake, and he would need, you know, the editorial staff of the Arcane School and the Lucis Trust must have been tremendously busy making sure that these books were presented in the best way and with the best punctuation and the correct spelling and so forth. None of that would have been Master DK's province. I have presented to you some esoteric facts which must, for a while at least, remain hypotheses and theories to the average astrologer, and probably, this is where the joke comes in, Occasionally he makes a joke. You know, Master DK has, it seems, a dry sense of humor at times, and probably an unwelcome ones at that. Remain hypotheses, and probably unwelcome ones at that. Well, these will have to remain for us hypotheses and theories until we can somehow prove and justify what he has said. He keeps telling us, you know, he's certain, indeed, that he is conveying the truth, and that if we follow it out, do the proper research, much of which will be statistical and so forth, that we will be in a position to confirm his statements. And of course, we have to work inwardly, meditatively, and in our various astrological practices with his suggestions, and confirmation will follow. I have made statements which are of necessity revolutionary in nature. Well, if he's going to really present the esoteric astrology of the future, there must be a revolution. He's really been Uranian here, you know, MDK in a Uranian function. He's turned everything upside down in a way, and even with the fundamental shift in emphasis between the sun sign and the rising sign. Conventional astrology considers the sun sign more important than the rising sign, and this matter is entirely reversed in esoteric astrology. So I've made statements which are of necessity revolutionary in nature and therefore disturbing. You know, because we all are disturbed when something we think we know, a system we think we know, is unsettled. If not apparently untrue or based on premises which deny all that the modern astrologer has worked out, and here's the point, and hitherto held dear. Well, we're always going to hold certain things dear, and when a greater point of view comes along, we will resent it. A greater point of view comes, we often resent the intrusion. So I'm sure there are many people who picked up esoteric astrology and just said, well, it's not astrology as I know it, and I put it down because I can't do anything with this. But they would say, but after years and years of pondering on esoteric astrology, you know, the greater pattern, which is disruptive to the lesser pattern, will sink in and condition the way we view the world. And from that perspective, we will be greatly illumined. So, in this connection, two of these ideas are basic where the astrology of the soul is concerned. The reversal of the wheel of the disciple upon the wheel of the life, by means of which his progress becomes anti-clockwise, right, instead of clockwise. So that's fundamental, and it means that we respond to the signs and constellations in a new way. And from a sub-diaphragmatic response, we move to a super diaphragmatic response. We respond to the signs through our higher centers rather than lower centers, and that's always possible. So we respond to the astrological energies from our higher centers rather than from our lower centers. And this tends to indicate that there are periods between, and in transitional periods, response comes from both. So so many of us are in transition, you know, between the human life and the truly spiritual life, and so to the different astrological energies, a response will come from the lower or the higher, sometimes with distressing rapidity of fluctuation. That's essentially what it means to reverse the wheel. It means to respond to the same energies in a different way, because the energy flows within the etheric body are reversing themselves. That much can be reversed. We're not going to somehow, the wheel of the zodiac constellations may be turning. There are hints about that, but it's not suddenly going to turn in the different direction. Man is not going to control those stars and constellations, but his response will involve a different direction of etheric energy flows. So anyway, to make it simple, let's make sure we keep our response as super diaphragmatic as possible. In other words, the heart, the throat, the ajna, and the head center, rather than initially the solar plexus and the sacral center, and later there will be a very spiritual base of the spine center response. The other factor is, so in this connection, two of these ideas are basic where the astrology of the soul is concerned, or at least the astrology of the soul within the personality, taking the soul as a real factor and looking for its working out within the personality rather than rejecting it, the way well-established habit patterns tend to do. So reversal of the wheel is one of these basic ideas, and the other basic idea is the influence of the rising sign, which is held by the esoteric astrologer to indicate soul possibility and direction. Soul possibility and direction versus the personality opportunity, and I would say more in the realm of conventional circumstance offered by the nature of the vehicle of response. So what really is our soul possibility or direction? We can collect some of the highest mantras or keynotes connected with our rising sign and see whether in some way we are fulfilling these indications. People can think of themselves very much in terms of their sun sign. They say, well, what sign are you? And they'll say, well, I'm a this, you know, and the this will be their sun sign. And rarely do they answer in terms of the sign of their rising sign. That is the way they should answer, really, if they are spiritually oriented. But it will take some retraining. You know, old habits die hard here. So these two factors are considered completely basic. The reversal of the wheel and the influence of the rising sign. And I'll say two basic factors. The reversal of the wheel. The reversal of the wheel. And the influence of the rising sign. Whoop! Have all of these. There we go. These two ideas are obviously revolutionary. Well, they go in opposite directions, don't they? We're talking about two factors: the wheel in two directions, and two points of focus in the chart, and which one will be the major one. So they are obviously revolutionary, and when to them you add the new sets of planetary rulers which I've given you, it is not surprising if you feel the vastness of the astrological theme. Well, I suppose it's really just about as big as cosmos is. And the kind, you know, we're not doing galactic astrology here, are we? Of course, there are probably some beings in our vast cosmos which are doing that. We're not doing the astrology of the galactic arms, are we? Or the astrology which influences the relationship between various ones about whom naught may be said. Or even the astrology of the interrelation of the chakras within a one about whom naught may be said. Or interconstellational astrology. We're not doing that. We are learning a little bit, however, about their relationships. We don't know anything about their relative stage of consciousness unfoldment, but we know something about how they're connected to each other, how they're connected to certain great constellations and to planets, and eventually right down here to our own level. So DK has drawn for us a very vast horizon, even though it's tiny compared to the whole extent of cosmos. Well, we've been doing this forever. What a statement. We've been alive as life, in terms of what life really is, forever. And that in itself is a very destructive thought. It certainly destroys Saturn in one of its meanings. It's like Uranus destroys Saturn. You know, eternity destroys time. So it is not surprising if you feel the vastness of the astrological theme. This, however, was the first reaction which I hoped to get from you. Well, you know, one of the ways of destroying one's attachment to a small configuration is to present attractively a much larger configuration in which the small configuration is just a tiny part. This will be destructive of the bands of attraction which connect us to the small configuration only. This, however, was the first reaction which I hope to get from you. Astrology must now argue from the universal to the particular, because it must, in the future, deal with soul unfoldment and not with the personality horoscope as hitherto. And let's just say that this is an example of the astrology of the soul in action, dealing with soul unfoldment. So, you know, what really will that be? And it will be the increase in our consciousness. That is what it will be. An expansion and deepening of our consciousness. At this point, I would remind you that nothing I have said negates the charting of the personality horoscope, as at present done in the case of the average man who is proceeding clockwise around the wheel of life. And, you know, there is much success and much of value in the charting of such horoscopes. This can be valuable. And he has to say this for protective reasons, because, you know, just the way excited esoteric healers want to throw out the whole medical profession, some of them, so excited esoteric astrologers will say, well, there's nothing in your conventional astrology. You have to attend only to esoteric astrology. And that would be a mistake, right? I have but brought into your field of astrological research the astrology of the human consciousness, of the solar angel, the sun of mind, and the spiritual man. Well, I want to, you know, attend to fixate upon certain important paragraphs, and this is what he has done, indeed. This is what he's trying to do in the book. I have but brought into your field of astrological research the astrology of the human consciousness, of the solar angel, which from a certain respect is underlying our higher mental consciousness, of the sun of mind, and the spiritual man, and also eventually the astrology of the monad. All these he has brought into our awareness. So this, yeah, okay, this is, well, you know, what do I do here? Perhaps put this into astrology, esoteric astrology 498. I tend also to want to excise the best. As I was working in Cosmic Fire, you know, for a number of years, I always wanted to excise the best statements and make them available. Master DK has done in giving us esoteric astrology. And then I'll just make that I guess I'm right there in the Alice Bailey extracts. I have brought into your field of astrological research the astrology of the human consciousness. This is the most important. How is our consciousness really changing? The outer form we see changing all the time, and as that outer form changes, is the consciousness changing, or are we, as an old person of 80 years old, in the same limited state of consciousness that we were when we were 20? So, obviously the change has to occur. The interaction, the magical interaction between we who are so often the shadow and the overshadowing solar angel, finding ourselves as the son of mind, finding ourselves as the true spiritual man, and learning how to advance as the true spiritual man by using astrological knowledge. This is what has to be done. And this is what he has given us the opportunity to do. All right, then. We have been looking at what Master DK has said he has done. This is all in the nature of a summary. Summaries are very important because they bring before our mind the most salient points. Basically, he said he has hoped to shock us somewhat. He didn't use that word, but he's hoped to get this reaction from us where we feel the vastness of the astrological theme. And in feeling this vastness, perhaps develop a little bit of, what can I put down here? Develop a little astrological, humility. All right. That's what we need, an adjusted sense of right proportion. And he accepts the normal horoscope as having its place, of course. In the latter part of this century, what I have to give you will be demonstrated to be true. Perhaps among the disciples and aspirants with whom we work, there is this sense of the demonstration of the truth. This will happen where disciples and highly developed aspirants and initiates are concerned. At least among the esotericists I know, and those within the organizations, the University of Seven Rays, Maury Federation, the AUM organization, Northern Light organization, many, many organizations that where there are these types of people, there has been, at least as far as the members are concerned, a demonstration of the truth of that part of this new esoteric astrology they can understand. None of us can understand the whole of it, I suspect. The old exoteric astrology will still persist and prove its usefulness where the average man is in question, focused in his personality life and oriented towards the material world. And I know some people trying to present the new astrology. Some try to present the new astrology, but find that many are not ready for it and want the more exoteric presentation because it relates to them. All right, well, much progress towards right understanding of astrology will come later when certain new meditations on the 12 signs of the zodiac are made available. Well, there are some of, perhaps a few of these published now. A few may be now published. But maybe there are more to come. Much progress towards right understanding of astrology will come later when certain new meditations on the 12 signs of the zodiac are made available. DK gave to the disciples degree, the members of the disciples degree in the old arcane school setup. Certain meditations, he called them zodiacal meditations, they seem to relate more to the first three signs and not to any others, and maybe that's how he intends to do it, to relate to the first three signs, and then later when he starts in 2025 and beyond, to give out the next nine signs. When the world again settles down to calmer living, has it really, and conditions are adjusted to a more stable rhythm, these new meditations can form a potent source of usefulness in brightening the web of life and in producing more effective spiritual living among men. So, as far as I know, these will have to be given out in 2025 and following. But we do have a few we can work with, maybe the most, some of the most important, because we have those relating to the three signs of the higher interlude. The problem of all disciples remains the same. This is to live simultaneously the acutely sensitive inner life of the pilgrim upon the path of life, of a human being in the world of human events, to live the group life of the pledged disciple and the mass life of humanity, to fulfill his own spiritual destiny through the medium of a controlled personality, and at the same time, to participate fully in the life of humanity upon earth. And this is no easy task, and thus we become, on this planet, judicators between the pairs of opposites. And how do we spell that word? Adjudicators between the pairs of opposites. We have completed what I felt possible to communicate anent the science of triangles. Well, I've been studying it for a long time, but never adequately, and maybe that's the case with others, and having in these last several days forced myself to move through this section of the book, approximately 90 pages, and a bit more, have come to a far deeper appreciation of what is here given. And even that is just scratching the surface. So perhaps we will all be able to do this in a deeper way as we advance in our study of esoteric astrology. We have completed what I felt possible to communicate anent the science of triangles, the science which concerns the entire subjective pattern of manifestation, and the significance of which is closely interrelated with the trinity of manifestation. So it's an underlying subjective science. The science of triangles is an underlying subjective, obviously trinitarian science, which doesn't mean that it has the that kind of religious connotation of the Catholic Church necessarily, no. It's something that is far more fundamental than that. Another name for this science is the science of etheric structure or substance. I don't recall ever really reading that. This is another name for the science of triangles. How interesting. So, another name for the science of triangles. That being so, that science deals with life, quality, and appearance in the three worlds of divine purpose and will. For that reason, and for that reason, all that I can do in this treatise is to convey to you certain seed thoughts, which at some future date will blossom forth as the basic science of relations. Whenever I see that, I get excited. The science of relations. In some ways, I think it's the most fundamental of all of them. The basic science of relations. So, three sciences here. Let's list them. We are dealing with three sciences, three interrelated sciences. The science of triangles, the science of, how is it put here, etheric structure or substance, of etheric structure or substance, and the basic science of relations. Maybe not only between astrological factors, but between any kinds of factors, even though those factors are in a way ruled by the appropriate type of astrology relating to the factors, the basic science of relations. And if we can grasp this, then the interconnectedness of all things will appear before our eyes, and we will see the unity. The whole will be seen as one, and yet it will be an articulated one. It won't be just a mystical, homogeneous one, although there's a sense in which that too must be seen. The unity must be isolated, but all of the articulation within the oneness must be also revealed. The subjective relation will be both vertical and horizontal, particular and universal, specific and general. So, you know, in this sense, it helps to know exoteric astrology as well as the kind we are now studying. The particulars are also important. With the present mental equipment of humanity, which, of course, will grow, all that is possible for man is to grasp certain facts and vaguely sense certain intuitive implications and ideas. He can only hold out so much hope for us at this point. And even though there seem to be so many specifics given in a book of this nature, it's just a slight adumbration, you know, just a little painting, little indication of what the whole picture will be. With the present mental equipment of humanity, all that is possible for man to grasp is to grasp certain facts and vaguely sense certain intuitive implications. Later, he will perceive intuitively the underlying structure of ideas and sense the basic synthesis which life itself contains, almost like a mantra. Therefore, beyond what I have given you, you cannot go today. I mean, DK knows what is possible for us, and he's given us a great deal which has to be assimilated. My own estimation of those who have studied these things is that it is very rare indeed to find anyone who has really assimilated this entire book, let alone Master DK's teaching. Maybe we just can't do that, but we can continue to strive to do that. So we will begin intuitively to perceive the underlying structure of ideas and the basic synthesis which life itself contains. And that's what we are working on, because if the intuition is active, it will reveal exactly what are the interrelations. So what I would tend to say here is that the intuition reveals the great and basic science of relations. It's the science in which I find myself most interested. Once had someone tell me, someone very perceptive long ago, that in my life I would take everything apart and put it back together. Almost sounds like the Dalai Lama's attitude towards watches, although he jokes that while he does take them apart, it's rather harder to put them back together. So the fifth-ray, third-ray type of analysis is very important, but then second-ray and fourth-ray have to link all these pieces, Isis-like, so they come back together in the right form, an archetypal form. But the aftermath of the war will change all this. Maybe we will be able to go beyond what is given using our own faculties. Once there is a measure of nervous release from strain, and once the swing of the world movement has again stabilized, humanity will transcend itself. Well, I don't know that we are there yet. There's been wonderful movements suggesting this type of transcendence. Movements have suggested this type of transcendence, but have we availed ourselves fully? Humanity has not yet transcended itself, but among certain types of human beings, there has been a great movement towards transcendence. The spiritual values will emerge more clearly. The fact of the inner world will no longer be questioned, as man's increased sensitivity enables him to respond to the higher impression and the inner inspiration. His ability to live the vertical life of the spirit and the horizontal life of relationship will grow with each decade, and you know, this is the value of the cross as a symbol. And when we study the charts of the crosses, we have to think of the synthesis which comes from simultaneously living the vertical and horizontal life. And what we learn about it when we study the crosses, now maybe we've already looked at that, but that's coming later as well, that there are vertical arms to these crosses and horizontal arms. We can also consider them as lying flat and rising to a pyramid. But there are vertical and horizontal arms. Indeed, there are. And we are going to learn how to put these two together as we learn how to fulfill the cross in our own life and achieve the synthesis which leads to a liberation eventually from the compulsions of being a member of the fourth kingdom of nature. Then the relation of life to form, of spirit to body, of the soul to the personality will demonstrate in the realm of quality. And the realm and the quality of the immediate divine aspect, it's not the final divine aspect, but the immediate divine aspect, the Christ consciousness, will emerge in a manner undreamt of today by any of you, even the most advanced thinkers. So the Christ consciousness is a great mystery, that what it truly is and what it can reveal to us. So we think we know something about the Christ consciousness, but in a way it's more in the Virgoan sense of that which is emerging rather than its fullness in Aquarius and Pisces. Speculation on your part is useless. There does come a time when speculation is useless. It just doesn't penetrate the revelation. Sometimes speculation will not penetrate the revelation. Time alone will serve to demonstrate the veracity of the picture I portray and the validity of the inner spiritual structure. So the masters have to think far ahead as they seed the consciousness of humanity with seeds which cannot be unfolded immediately and which will require nurturing over time. This structure has always been present, but it has been heavily overlaid by the material desires of mankind. We tend to be preoccupied with things we want which are not related to the essential archetypal structure. A thick crust, if I may use such a word, of thought forms veils and hides the inner realm of beauty and of meaning, of quality and spiritual consciousness. All of this is suggesting the summary that he's in. The revelation is ever present, and we are not perceiving it because we are too preoccupied with our own thoughts. This crust is being blasted away. Right now we have a very powerful Uranus-Pluto square in the sky. It's going to last a long time. And seven squares, my friends tell me, sometimes I never study this exactly, but seven squares, exact squares, atomic energy blasting away. The purpose and the will, the purpose Uranus and the will Pluto. This crust is being blasted away by the present catastrophic condition of the world. So this was leading up to the war and within the war. Men will feel at the close of this present war as if nothing had been left them, and that they are destitute and denuded of all that made life worth living, so dependent have they become upon the so-called high scale of living. We call it the high standard of living. So blasting away our attachment to the high so-called standard, we tend to become preoccupied with material comforts. I guess in the United States, with this Jupiter in Cancer, which is a planet exalted in Cancer because it brings the lower elemental life to fruition, we've become so attached to that life. And in many of the Western countries, and if we've been, after the Second World War, destitute and denuded of all that seemed to make life worth living, what will it be in the immediate future? Because my impression is that many of those who are engaged in this kind of attachment will have the things to which they are attached taken from them. But these attitudes will serve as stepping stones to a new life and a better and more simple way of living. The new values, to which we don't seem to have the time to attend, will be released and comprehended among men, and new goals will be revealed. And, you know, 80 years ago this was written, or 70-some. And the day will come in the experience of humanity when men will look back at the pre-war centuries and wonder at their blindness and be shocked at their selfish, materialistic past. The day will come when men will look back at the pre-war centuries, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15. Of course, the 20th century was the great warring century, and what of the 21st century? Will the Shambhala impact of the year 2000 really be less destructive? As DK said, it could be, if we took the proper precautions. When men will look back at the pre-war centuries and wonder at their blindness and be shocked at their selfish and materialistic past, the future will shine with an added glory, and I suppose because of all that we've gone through, and through difficulties and the problems incident to world adjustment of the new relationships between the spiritual man and his material environment will be found, the future will prove itself as the best yet unrolled. The word rolls forth, beauty and glory, veil me not, I stand revealed. The future will shine with an added glory, and though difficulties and the problems incident to world adjustment and the new relationships between the spiritual man and his material environment will be found, the future will prove itself as the best yet unrolled. Difficulties will be found on all planes up until the last initiation. It's not a cakewalk, is it? You know, once one is a master, still more difficulties exist. But the destructiveness of the life process will never again be so potent, I suppose, because because the attachment will never again be so strong. And I want to say the attachment to things and states of the lower three worlds will never again be so strong. So there will not be the need for such a dramatic destructive process. The reason for this is humanity is most definitely emerging from the thraldom of matter, and in such cases destruction parallels the impact of the descending spirit upon opposing matter. Ponder on this statement. We are on the reversing wheel, humanity is. We are merging from the slavery to the material conditions of the previous solar system. And when spirit helps us disengage from these enthralling situations and conditions, there will be the destruction of those conditions. Spirit is descending through the Shambhala impacts and is assisting with the disengagement. What comes out of Shambhala is purification, destruction, and organization. I often think that if purification can't do its work, destruction must follow. Sometimes, when given certain types of slavery, only destruction will work. The situation is so impossibly different from the archetype that only destruction will follow. So here we have had the great science of triangles. We're going to go into shortly the sacred and the non-sacred planets. This will be actually the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 126C. And whatever page we're on, page 500 or so. Yes, we are that far. Page 500. I'm happy to reach that point because it tells me something about the progress in these commentaries. And beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 127A, page 500. DK promised that he would lead us into abstruse considerations, cosmic considerations, but he has been very successful in showing how even the three great cosmic constellations, and are there seven more like those three, are very connected with the life we consider to be our ordinary life, even down to the chakric level. We can look at all things in nature and wonder about their underlying triangulation, even though they are, in a sense, manifesting within the square. Every being can be interpreted in terms of a subjective triangulation, and our lives as well, as we assess the threefold nature of our personality and the balance therein achieved or not achieved, and the threefold nature of our soul, and the three tiers of petals of the egoic lotus with which we have to deal as we unfold, we can view the world from a new subjective perspective, having been somewhat informed about this great science of triangles, the triangle hovering above the square, and our spiritual life hovering above our field of manifestation. And can we look into our astrological chart and see the most important triangles? And which, given the fact that there will be triangles in revolution, which one of the members of the triangle stands in the most prominent position? Can we do that? And in some way, develop a deeper esoteric interpretation of our life process based upon what Master DK has provided and refuse to fall into the usual personality interpretations. I suppose everyone should look at his rising sign, sun sign, and moon sign, and then from another perspective, his sun sign, rising sign, and point opposite the sun sign. We should all look at the crosses. This will be taken up shortly, and so we will be in a better position to see how the triangles hover above the crosses. If we elevate a triangle, we get a tetrahedron. We always find a point of being or of greater authority within the center of the triangle. The point within the triangle has also to be considered. So are we receptive enough to the new esoteric astrology presented by the Tibetan to allow ourselves to take our eyes for a little while off the personality astrology with which we may have been so fully involved and begin to look at the larger astrological environment and interrelations in it that we may hardly have suspected? And can we study the evolution of the human being in such a way that his spiritual evolution will be meaningful to us, and we will not just be dealing with personality satisfaction, whether the environment has complied in fulfilling our desires and wishes, but instead experience the revelation of where we actually are in a process which only esoteric study will unfold to our understanding. And when we know that something of that process and the different phases of the path and of discipleship, the different types of integration and fusion that we are to pass through, we will find a way to apply this vaster type of information to our process and make our true spiritual process one of correct unfoldment. There's no use trying to be an esoteric astrologer unless one understands something of the soul of the human being and of the interplay between the soul and the normal human being, and of the sequential progress of the man as that interplay proceeds through definite stages, which can be specifically understood and named, and to which specific astrological factors apply. I hope to be doing some sort of program of this nature with the rather voluminous information I've collected on the egoic lotus, you know, from Master DK, and then from extrapolated thoughts based on the information he has given. And I think the best way is not to write about it so much, but to talk it. I know it may place an added burden on those who listen, but maybe in some ways it will be more alive, because I'd like to go petal by petal, tier by tier, and talk about all the astrological and rheological factors which are related to the unfoldment of the egoic lotus. I'd like to be able to do that, and, you know, God willing, I will have the time to do it, because it will be very related to the whole esoteric astrological study. And thereby, as we absorb in a practical manner the meaning of these planets and signs and stars and constellations in our process of spiritual unfoldment, we will begin to live more scientifically and with more spiritual control and with greater certainty concerning the objectives we must achieve, and not blunder around so much, bumping into this and that and learning the hard way, but maybe be able to think ahead as to what must be unfolded in our lives. It is something about humanity with this fourth ray that it learns often through unnecessary conflict what is the better way. Not all conflicts are necessary, and some conflicts are produced simply by ignorance and can be avoided because they are a waste of time. Many fights are a waste of time, so one has to choose one's battles. Sometimes they are inevitable, as between the different aspects of our nature. There will always be a conflict between soul and personality until a certain point of harmony is reached, and then there will be a conflict between the soul-infused personality and the spirit aspects, which want the consciousness to see in a larger sphere and to dedicate itself to larger objectives. There's always a fight between the will to remain small and the will to enlarge oneself. And some people would say, well, who would fight for that? Obviously, we want to enlarge, but such is the fear on our planet that it seems safer to remain within the small sphere to expand than to expand and to deepen. Well, now we have somewhat 500 pages. It's almost like a miracle, you know. Two years ago and some 4 months, I began this process, And there have been many breaks in between. It's not been continuous. I wish, in a way, it could have been continuous, because there's very much to discuss in Master DK's works. And maybe others will, you know, like to also take up this, you know, somewhat experienced students taking up this commentary, realizing that anything that they can say will be a limitation upon what Master DK has said, but will also possibly extend the thought and offer connections which might not have been realized by students who study the book. So we'll be going on to a very interesting area of the sacred and non-sacred planets. And what I would like to do is to close this section on the science of triangles with the sounding of the great invocation. It is our great mantram, the mantram of power and light from Shambhala. It is our greatest means of creating those circumstances which will allow the Christ to reappear and the hierarchy to externalize. So we have to use it wisely, with thought. Master Moria says, even when you take your vitamins, take them with thought, and let there be no mindless repetition of important spiritual thoughts. Let the mind be right there when one is doing these things, repeating important mantras and words of power. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, we'll be off onto a new section now, just about 170 or 80 pages left. I wonder how many pages actually we do have left in this book. 600, almost 200 pages, goes to 695. So about 200 pages, or maybe I can call it 195 pages, just to give solace to myself. I hope that in this summer I'm able to complete quite a bit of this. I don't know. I will persist moving forward. And then, only the brave, I think, will really listen all the way through. And we'll know how to extract that which is truly useful from that which may be interesting from that which is erroneous. But when we speculate, and speculation is not always fruitful, but sometimes is, there will be thoughts touched which are either impractical or way beyond the possibility of confirmation or even misleading, and I hope not. I hope that I've qualified what I've said in such a way that when there are thoughts that may be going off and are a bit erroneous, I've said they may be so. But the broader horizon of consciousness is what we hope to achieve. And that will give a true sense of humility and a true sense of proportion, and will adjust our desire nature so we do not desire that which is impossible, but we desire that which is achievable. And in the achievement of those elevated desires will come the happiness and the joy of living in this incredible universe, which is an expression of ourselves, or of the one self which we are. So we're dealing with a lot of details and particulars, but we're dealing with the many. But let us not forget, even more importantly, lies the one which has become the many. And if when we use esoteric astrology and study esoteric astrology, we forget the one and get lost in the many, then we are not sustaining the type of consciousness necessary to truly represent this science as it must be represented. The one and the many, it's a theme that types upon the third ray, types upon the third ray, or who access the third ray, must work out. The ongoing relationship between the one and the many, and being equally skillful in both, to work with the many while ever isolating the unity which is the one. This we must achieve. Well, anyway, I better stop talking, and we'll get on to Esoteric Astrology 127A, page 500, which will be a discussion of the sacred and the non-sacred planets. It'll be a little more concrete, I suppose, in some ways, than this vast science of triangles. So, friends, we'll see you then, and onward we go.